Shalom Yom Kippur. Day of Atonement. I was looking up some things on the internet and I saw some videos about Yom Kippur, and they mentioned that the rabbis were wearing white in honor of this day because it's a day when we have cleanse ourselves and are cleansed by Yahweh. So here I am. I didn't have any white linen pants. I don't know what happened to them. This is a day full of meaning and pageantry. It's considered to be the most set apart, King James says, holy day of the year. Yahweh has blessed us with more detailed information about this day than any other, except maybe Passover. The record of how this day's ceremony was performed is of particular interest because it tells us how Abba Yahweh and Messiah Yahshua make it possible for us to live forever with them. The simple command from Yahweh gives us just this, some basics. It's in Leviticus 23 where we find all the feast days described. Leviticus 23, beginning at verse 26. Leviticus 23:26, and Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, on the 10th day of the 7th month is the Day of Atonement. It shall be a set-apart gathering for you, and you shall afflict your beings, and shall bring an offering made by fire to Yahweh. And you do no work on that day, for it is a day of atonement, to make atonement for you before Yahweh your Elohim. For any being who is not afflicted on that same day, he shall be cut off from his people. And any being who does not who does any work on that same day, that being I shall destroy from the midst of his people. You do no work, a law forever, throughout your generations and all your dwellings. It is a Sabbath of rest to you, and you shall afflict your beings. On the 9th day of the month at evening, from evening to evening, you shall observe your Sabbath. So we learn some things from this passage. A set-apart gathering shall be held on the 10th day of the 7th month. That's today. We shall afflict or humble ourselves, and most believers who are able to do so fast for a little more than 24 hours without food or drink. And we learn that this set-apart gathering is to last forever. Would that include today? As far as I know, today is part of forever. So just to get the whole thing down, we're going to read through Leviticus 16, where the details of this day are recorded. First, to refresh your memory about the tabernacle is a movable building, about 20 feet by 60 feet. Divided into two rooms. The entrance is on one end, which is always facing east. The front two-thirds of the building is called the Kodesh, or holy place. And it contains the menorah. Do we have a menorah here? Yes, we do. It's like that little menorah down there, but it's 5 feet tall, the lampstand. Okay. Oh, there's my place. It contains the lampstand with seven lamps, the altar of incense, which is a small table, and the table of the showbread. another small table. All of these things are either made of gold or covered with gold. Even the walls are gold. The Kodesh HaKodeshim, or what the King James calls the Holy of Holies, not a bad translation, it was at the back of the tabernacle, and it was 20 feet square and separated from the Kodesh place by a heavy curtain that hung from the ceiling to the dirt floor. It contained only the Ark of the Covenant, a box about 2 feet by 5 feet, with a cover holding two golden messengers or angels who touched their wings over the center of the cover. The full ancient ceremony of the atonement, Day of Atonement, is found in Leviticus 16, and I'm going to read that now. Leviticus 16, verse 1. And Yahweh spoke to Moshe after the death of the two sons of Aaron, as they drew near before Yahweh and died. And Yahweh said to Moshe, speak to Aaron your brother not to come in at all times to the set-apart place inside the veil before the lid of atonement, which is on the ark, lest he die, because I appear in the ark, I appear in the cloud above the lid of atonement. With this, Aaron should come into the set-apart place with the blood of a young bull as a sin offering and of a ram as a burnt offering. He should put on the set-apart linen long shirt with linen trousers on his flesh and gird himself with a linen girdle or belt and be dressed with the linen turban. They are set-apart garments, and he shall bathe his body in water and shall put them on. And from the congregation of the children of Israel, he takes two male goats as a sin offering and one ram as a burnt offering. And Aaron shall bring the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house. And he shall take the two goats and let them stand before Yahweh at the door of the tent of meeting. And Aaron shall cast lots for the two goats, one lot for Yahweh and the other lot for Azazel. Azazel is a Hebrew word that means deep removal. And Aaron shall bring the goat on which the lot fell for Yahweh and shall prepare it as a sin offering. But the goat on which the lot for Azazel fell is caused to stand alive before Yahweh to make atonement upon it and set it into and send it into the wilderness to Azazel, or to removal. And Aaron shall bring the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his house, and shall slaughter the bull as a sin offering, which is for himself, and shall take a fire holder filled with burning coals. How many know what a censer is? Oh, good. I can explain it. A censer is a... In this case, it would be bronze, since this is happening in the Bronze Age, but it could be any of any metal that's sturdy against fire. You wouldn't want to make it out of lead. It starts out with a pan at the bottom, and then the top is like filigree. It's got all full of holes. Not big holes, but small holes. And then from the top of it comes a chain, and at the top of the chain is a handle for the priest to hold it, because it's got fire in that pan at the bottom. He puts fire, coals from the altar, and then he's got incense in his other hand, and he's going to open the censer and put the incense in, and then the incense is going to catch fire and make a lot of smoke, and that is the smoke that Yahweh desires to have. So, he'll have this censer. I'm going to have to learn how to keep my place. Okay, verse 12. And shall take a fire holder filled with burning coals of fire from the altar before Yahweh, with his hands filled with sweet incense, beaten fine, and shall bring it inside the veil. Now the veil divided the large room in the front of the tabernacle from this small square room at the back, and it was a heavy curtain that hung from the ceiling, and in order to get into the back room, you had to go around the side of the curtain. And he shall put the incense on the fire before Yahweh, and the cloud of incense shall cover the lid of atonement, which is on the witness, lest he die. The witness is the Ark of the Covenant. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the lid of atonement on the east side. Also, in front of the lid of atonement, he sprinkles some of the blood with his finger seven times, right on the dirt floor, I guess. And he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and shall bring its blood inside the veil, and shall do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the lid of atonement in front of the lid, and in front of the lid of atonement. Verse 16. And he shall make atonement for the set-apart place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions in all their sins. And so he does for the tent of meeting, which is dwelling with them in the midst of their uncleanness. The tent of meeting, the tabernacle, was in the center of the camp. So it had Israelites all around it on the various sides. Verse 17, and no man should be in the tent of meeting when he goes in to make atonement in the set-apart place until he comes out. And he shall make atonement for himself and for his household and for all the assembly of Israel. And he shall go out to the altar that is before Yahweh, and make atonement for it. And he shall take some of the blood of the bull and some of the blood of the goat and put it on the horns of the altar all around. Now, the altar was a place where they burned sacrificial animals. It was about 10 feet square and 4 or 5 feet high, and in the middle of it, of the height, it had a grate, so you could build a fire underneath and put animals to be incinerated on the grate, and they would get burned up. And on the four corners of the altar, it had like horns projecting up. And he was going to put some of the blood on the horns of the altar all around. Verse 19, and he shall sprinkle some of the blood on it with his finger seven times, and cleanse it, and set it apart from the uncleanness of the children of Israel. And when he has finished atoning for the set-apart place, and the tent of meeting, and the altar, he shall bring the live goat. And Aaron shall lay both his hands on the head of the live goat, and shall confess over it all the crookednesses of the children of Israel, and all their transgressions, and all their sins, and shall put them on the head of the goat, and send it away into the wilderness by the hand of a fit man. And the goat shall bear on itself all their crookednesses to a land cut off. Thus he shall send the goat away into the wilderness. Aaron shall then come into the tent of meeting and shall take off the linen garments which he put on when he went into the set-apart place and shall leave them there. And he shall bathe his body in water in the set-apart place and shall put on his garments and shall come out and prepare his burnt offering and the burnt offering of the people and make atonement for himself and for the people and burn the fat of the sin offering on the altar. And he who sent away the goat to Azazel washes his garments and shall bathe his body in water, and afterward he comes into the camp. And the bull for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the set-apart place, is brought outside the camp. And they shall burn their skins and their flesh and their dung with fire. And he who burns them washes his garments and shall bathe his body in water, and afterward he comes into the camp. And this shall be for you a law forever. In the seventh month, on the tenth day of the month, you afflict your beings. Anybody feel afflicted? A little bit. You shall afflict your beings and do no work, and the native or the stranger who sojourns among you. For on that day he makes atonement for you, to cleanse you, to be clean from all your sins before Yahweh. It is a Sabbath of rest to you, and you shall afflict your beings, a law forever. And the priest who is anointed and ordained to serve as priest in his father's place shall make atonement and shall put on the linen garments, the set apart garments, and he shall make atonement for the most high, most set apart place, and make atonement for the tent of meeting and for the altar, and make atonement for the priests and for all the people of the assembly. And this shall be for you a law forever, to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. And he, Aaron, did as Yahweh commanded Moshe. This is the only time all year that anyone goes into the inner room of the tabernacle. The critical parts of what happens during this ceremony are, in verse 4, the high priest bathes and puts on the special linen clothes. A priest is a man who functions as an intermediary between the Elohim and the people. That's what it means in all religions. The high priest is, of course, the leading man among the priests. He takes, in verse 5, he takes two male goats from the congregations, from the congregation. The scriptures say for a sin offering. Both of these goats must be qualified to become a sin sacrifice. One will be killed and burned on the altar, and the other will be sent out into the wilderness. But each one must be a perfect animal without blemish. They both stand for the Messiah, I believe. The people being the sacrifice, the people bring the sacrifice, as we did in Matthew 26, 47 and 50, and Matthew 27, 24 and 25. But then the priest takes over. Just reading that reference in Matthew 27, beginning at verse 24, Matthew 27, 24, and 25. When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but rather an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands before the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this righteous one. You see to it." And all the people answering said, "His blood be on us and on our children." And so it is today. Back to Leviticus 6, verse 6. The high priest offers a bull and probably a ram and brings their blood into the first room of the tabernacle, the larger room, and puts some of it on the altar of incense for himself and for his household. And we read in Leviticus, just a reference to Leviticus 4, verse 7. Getting back to Leviticus 16, verse 8, he takes the two goats to the tabernacle and casts lots on them. Don't know how he did that, but he did. The one that is chosen by lot to be for Yahweh is offered as a sin offering, killed and burned up. The other goat is the goat for departure, Azazel, which shall stand alive before Yahweh. Verse 12 and 13, the high priest brings a censer into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, that's the most holy place, and puts sweet incense on it to make a cloud of smoke that covers the mercy seat and covers the Ark of the Covenant. Verse 14, he sprinkles blood from a bull with his finger on the east side of the altar of the mercy seat seven times. So he brings a bowl of blood with him, and he sprinkles it on the mercy seat with his finger. And he sprinkles blood from the goat with his finger on and before the mercy seat. So he puts some of it on the mercy seat and some of it down on the ground. Verse 16, he makes atonement for the Kodesh place for the uncleanness of the children of Israel for all their sins, and he does so for the tabernacle. In verse 18, he makes atonement for the altar with the blood of the bull and the goat. So he goes outside and puts the blood on the altar outside, the altar of burnt offerings. Verse 21, he lays his hands on the head of the live goat, the Azazel goat of departure, and confesses over it all the sins of the children of Israel, putting them on the head of the goat. He may have used the Ten Commandments as a guide for doing this. Perhaps he says, Abba Yahweh, we confess our sin of having other Elohim before you. We repent of this grievous sin and ask your forgiveness. Abba Yahweh, we confess our sin of making images and serving them. We repent of this grievous sin and ask your forgiveness. Abba Yahweh, we confess our sin of wrongfully using your Kodesh name. We repent of this grievous sin and ask your forgiveness. Abba Yahweh, we confess our sin of breaking your Sabbath in our deeds and in our thoughts. We repent of this grievous sin and ask your forgiveness. Abba Yahweh, we confess our sin of dishonoring our father and our mother in many ways. We repent of this grievous sin and ask your forgiveness. Abba Yahweh, we confess our sin of hurting or even killing our brothers in many ways. We repent of this grievous sin and ask your forgiveness. Abba Yahweh, we confess our sin of committing adultery in many ways. We repent of this grievous sin and ask your merciful forgiveness. Abba Yahweh, we confess our sin of stealing from our brothers and from you. We repent of this grievous sin and ask your forgiveness. Abba Yahweh, we confess our sin of bearing false witness against our neighbors. We repent of this grievous sin and ask your merciful forgiveness. Abba Yahweh, we confess our sin of coveting our neighbor's possessions and even his wife or her husband. We repent of this grievous sin and ask your forgiveness. Abba Yahweh, we confess our sins of breaking your covenant Torah, which we committed by a covenant to guard and to do. We made this covenant with you and broke it. We repent of these grievous sins and ask your instructions in how to properly obey you in all things. Please guide us in your truth and be merciful to us and forgive us. Then he sends the goat away into the wilderness by the hand of a man who is ready. The goat carries their sins into the wilderness, and the man lets him go. The high priest removes the special clothes, bathes again, and puts on his own clothes. He offers his burnt offering and the people's burnt offering and makes atonement for himself and for the people. Verse 30, the people are then clean before Yahweh from all their sins. Hallelujah. That doesn't happen often. All the people are clean from all their sins. Okay. Okay, I'm just repeating a couple of quotations from... Oh, this is the places where all the people's sins are noted as being forgiven. And in Leviticus 16:30, we read, for on that day he makes atonement for you to cleanse you, to be clean from all your sins before Yahweh. And then in verse 33, as we read, he shall make atonement for the most set apart place, and atonement for the tent of meeting, and atonement for the priests, and for all the people of the assembly. And then in verse 34, and this shall be for you a law forever to make atonement for the children of Israel for all their sins once a year. So we've learned some interesting and encouraging things about the Torah way of his people being reconciled with Yahweh. It's interesting to understand this stage play that Yahweh has written for us. What's the meaning of the high priest and all the animals that are involved? Well, the high priest represents Yahshua, our high priest, our eternal high priest. I believe that all the animal sacrifices in Torah are a picture of Yahshua the Messiah, the Lamb of Yahweh who takes away the sin of the world. I believed that for a short time, and I looked it up and found that there are other people who believe that. All the animal sacrifices picture Yahshua. In particular, I see the two young goats as images of Yahshua. The sacrificed goat pictures Yahshua who died for our sins. I believe the Azazel goat pictures the resurrected Yahshua, who lives and takes away all our sins of which we repent. Two goats is a device for showing us the two important roles Yahshua fulfills. It's understandable that the Jews did not perceive that the Messiah would operate in this way. They thought the Azazel goat stood for Satan, and they had the man throw him off a high cliff to kill him. We understand only because we have the New Covenant scriptures to make it clear to us. To understand Leviticus 16 even better, we can get some help from the New Testament in the book of Hebrews. It gives us some insight into this set-apart day as it talks about the anointed priest, Yahshua. We'll go to Hebrews 9, beginning at verse 8. Hebrews 9, 8. The set-apart spirit, signifying this, that the way into the most set-apart place was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was standing. So, in plain English, when the first tabernacle was there, they had just the one opportunity every year to go into that most holy place, the most set-apart place. And that was just a temporary thing, and it wasn't made clear how people would be able to get into the most set-apart place in the universe through Yahshua, which was a parable for a present time in which both gifts and sacrifices are offered, which are unable, this is written during the period of the temple still standing, which are unable to perfect the one serving as to his conscience. Only as to foods and drinks and different washings and fleshly regulations imposed until a time of setting things straight. It's time for me to have some water. Going on in Hebrews 9:11, but Messiah, having become a high priest of the coming good things, through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is not of this creation. He's talking about the tabernacle in the heaven where Yahweh is. Entered into the most set apart place once for all, not with the blood of goats and calves like that physical high priest, but with his own blood, having obtained everlasting redemption. That's redemption for believers. Hebrews 9:13. If the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the defiled sets apart for the cleaning of the flesh, how much more then will the blood of the Messiah, who offered himself unblemished through the eternal Spirit to Yahweh, cleanse our conscience from actions that lead to death, so that we may serve the living Elohim. Yes, brethren, if we accept the sacrifice of Yahshua the Messiah and strive to live as he directed, according to Yahweh's Torah law, then we can know that when we repent of our past sins, they are forgiven. We can then go forth from there and keep the law and serve Yahweh. Hebrews 10, beginning at verse 15. Hebrews 10, 15. But the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, also witnesses to us. For after he had said before, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days," says Yahweh, "I will put my laws into their hearts, and their minds I will write them." And he adds, "Their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more." Verse 18 of Hebrews 10. Now, where there is remission of these sins, there is no longer sacrifice for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest place by the blood of Yahshua, by a new and living way through the veil, which he consecrated for us, that is, his flesh, that's our way through the veil, and having a high priest over the house of Elohim, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of belief, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with clean water. Now we see the differences this high day makes for us. we can have access to Yahweh the Father that was not available even to the high priest of Israel. We can enter the true, most Kodesh place every day. Yahshua has made a way. The veil has been torn to show it is open to us. We see that in Matthew 27, verse 15, 51. And Yahshua cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. Then, behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. The earth quaked and the rocks were split. Looking forward a few days in time when his followers could approach Yahweh's throne, Yahshua said in John 16, 26 and 27, "In that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from Elohim." Back to Hebrews, Hebrews 10, 23 and to 25. Hebrews 10, 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hopes without wavering, for he who promised is trustworthy. And let us consider one another in love to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." This is another effect of the High Day. We are held responsible for our actions. We have seen that Yahshua is the Lamb who is sacrificed for us. It is his own blood on the mercy seat. It has been sprinkled there for you and for me. The next few verses explain what that means to us. And that's Hebrews 10, 26 to 31. Hebrews 10, 26. "For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sin, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and a fierce fire which will devour the adversaries. Anyone who has rejected Moses' law dies without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will he be thought worthy who has trampled underfoot the Son of Elohim, counted the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified a common thing, and insulted the Spirit of grace? For we know him who said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says Yahweh.' And again, 'Yahweh will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living Elohim.'" Now, verse 26 might be rendered in a little bit different way. "For if we sin willfully after we have received knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains any other sacrifice for sins." I believe forgiveness is still available to those who go to the Father in repentance and ask forgiveness for the sake of Yahshua's sacrifice. And in 1 John 2, verse 1, we read, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Yahshua the Messiah, the righteous one. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world." One other issue we need to understand is why we need to fast on this day. It'd be good to know why. I see no reason given in scriptures why Day of Atonement needs us to fast, but there's the command, so here we are fasting. There is a place where Yahweh discusses fasting a lot, and some of it appears to apply to this day. It's in Isaiah 58, beginning at verse 6. Isaiah 58, 6, down to 14. We'll go down to 14. Is this not the fast that I have chosen, to loosen the tight cords of wrongness, to undo the bands of the yoke, to exempt the oppressed, to break off every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out, when you see the naked and cover him, and not hide yourself from your own flesh? If anybody knows what that means, not hide yourself from your own flesh, I'd appreciate an explanation. Then, verse 8 of Isaiah 58, then your light would break forth like the morning, your healing spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The esteem of Yahweh will be your rear guard. Then, when you call, Yahweh would answer. When you cry, he would say, here I am. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, and the speaking of unrighteousness, if you extend your being to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted being, then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness be as noon. Then Yahweh would guide you continually and satisfy your being in drought and strengthen your bones, and you shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. And those from among you shall build the old waste places. You shall raise up the foundation of many generations, and you would be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of streets to dwell in. If you do turn back your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my set-apart day, and shall call the Sabbath a delight, the set-apart day of Yahweh esteemed, and shall esteem it, not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasures, nor speaking your own words, then you shall delight yourself in Yahweh, and I shall cause you to ride on the heights of the earth and feed you with the inheritance of Jacob your father, for the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. Now we can see why the 8 days after the Feast of Trumpets are dedicated as a period of repentance before the Day of Atonement. We've seen two important differences made by the meaning of this Day of Atonement for us. Number one, we can approach directly to the throne of Yahweh. This is a sacred privilege given by the blood of Yahshua. And number two, we must be very careful not to sin because of the great value and importance of the sacrifice given for our justification. Brethren, let's keep this high day with solemn appreciation for the value of the blood of Messiah and increased dedication to being righteously obedient in the eyes of Yahweh.